are listening to an unpopular podcast.
Hey, it's Josh here, and we're back. The Thing Committee is back. Sorry for not being here. It's completely Mark's fault. Oh, look, it's a little bit my fault as well. I might have had a major computer problem, then I had a W edition problem, then I had a time problem, then I had a wedding problem. Then I had, look, I had all the problems, and a bitch wasn't one. But I highly recommend you tell everyone about this podcast, listen to it. There's more to come. See you soon.
Another sitting of the Thing Committee, Australia's definitive authority on things. Introducing your hosts, Josh Withers and Steve Malk.
Welcome to another edition of the Thing Committee podcast. We are Australia's foremost authority on what's a thing and what's not a thing. My co-host Steve Moak joins me.
You can't even say my name properly anymore. Josh, I'm drinking stolen water and I like it.
And stolen frozen Diet Coke because it's very cold.
Okay.
On my behalf. We're recording at the Brisbane Convention Centre today with a very special guest, Adam Hills.
Yay, hello, sir. Clapping and applause.
Thank you. Woo. Thank you, thank you. Feel free, that was my Diet Coke and my water. But, you know, that's my rock and roll rider that I have backstage.
I'll spit in it and you can have it back.
Well, was there a rider? Yeah, as you're booking the convention centre, do they say what colour M&Ms do you need in a bowl?
Well, for this particular tour, you know, the producers, my managers kind of said, what do you want backstage? And yeah, I normally go, oh, just a couple of sandwiches. And
hookers.
And then there was one venue. Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know what it was? We got to Hobart and there's a... I'm giving away the ending of the show, but there's a choir that appears on show with me, on stage with me at the end of the show, 8 people in it. And we got to Hobart, which was the first night of the tour, because yeah, I'd been at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and got backstage afterwards, and I hadn't thought to accommodate for them. There were some sandwiches, there was no booze.
You had to divvy up the hookers.
You had to divvy up the hookers, exactly.
There's a roster.
That sounds messy.
So I said, you know what, for the rest of the tour, how about we have a little bit of food backstage? So you will see a bit later, there will be food arriving, there's kind of salads and all that kind of stuff. And cool. I feel a bit like a rock band. Because I quite like, you know, you hear stories of Fleetwood Mac were the best apparently. Fleetwood Mac set up a medieval tent behind, when they were doing these big open air gigs.
Awesome.
Behind the stage, an enormous medieval tent, table full of suckling pig. But it had to look like medieval tent with knights in armour in the corner and kind of those banners and flags waving. And I was told, I think it was Michael Chugg was the promoter, not once did Fleetwood Mac go into that tent for the entire tour.
Oh, the roadies ate really well.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. So, I'm a big one for, when we did the Spicks and Specks tour, we had a band with us, a three-piece band. And the end of every show, it would be, and you know, they're rockers. They perform with people like Tex Perkins and Jet and the like.
Mm.
And we'd get off stage and it would be opening bottles of champagne. And because I've done years of stand-up touring and I can't eat before a gig.
Mm.
So I'd get off stage and go, where are we going to eat?
Yeah.
And they were going, champagne's food. Which is a long way of saying, so basically for this tour, after that first, you know, night, very lonely, hungry night in Hobart, I said, oh, maybe we should just get some food brought backstage and some drinks for the choir.
Oh, that's nice.
Because the choir go off.
Awesome.
Oh my goodness, gospel choirs.
Yeah, yeah, they nail that whole harmony thing. Yeah.
But they know the whole, they nail the whole drinking in harmony.
Oh good. Bit free.
Yeah. Also joining today's podcast, Ellie Freeman.
Hello. Yay.
Hello.
And applauding.
Hi.
Hi.
Now, I wanted to open up the podcast and in a segue introduce Ellie because I wanted to ask whether this was a thing. Just introducing yourself and saying, what do you do? Because the Australian communication technique is that you'll say, hey, I'm Josh and I'm from. Or if you don't say where you're from, what you do, then someone will say, what do you do? Yeah. Are you a plumber? Are you a brickie? Are you a comedian? And because I'm thinking of myself, I've got 3 titles and, you know, at least 3, if not more, if you just like count the random things you say, you know, random Twitterer. But apparently being on Twitter is a thing these days. But Ellie, because we were talking earlier, like, how would you like to introduce? And she didn't have one thing. You had a range of things.
I just generally shout all the things at people whenever they ask me. And then run away.
And how does human resources and payroll departments deal with that?
Just pretend it's not happening. Do you actually want to know what I do?
Sure.
Oh, yeah, throw it out. Okay. What do you do?
Job number one... I work at 4EB, which is a ethnic multicultural radio station in Brisbane, and I actually do two things there.
You do two different things at job one.
Yep.
This is splintering too far.
I know, right? So my first job is working in their production studio, which means making ads, making station IDs, looking after all the pre-recorded shows that go to air and all that sort of thing. The other one is producing an actual interviews program, which is funded by the Community Broadcasting Foundation, which is played on 4EB and another community radio station, 4ZZZ. So I do all that at Workplace 1. Workplace 2 is at The Edge with a program called Citizen J, which is a community newsroom. So my job is to sort of edit people's work, teach them media skills. I run a few workshops. I occasionally go out and use the fancy expensive work camera to do stories. And I don't know if you'd call number three a job, but I sort of do freelance sound. I think it's called Soundy.
Soundy.
Doing sound at gigs.
Do you get paid for that?
Yes.
Then that's gig three. Yeah.
I don't know why you're not doing the sound here. You probably could have done a better job than I did. next thing.
Check. Okay? One. That's all I've got.
Adam, do you have, do you call yourself a comedian? Because you've done TV, right?
They call that personality.
I've never called myself a personality.
Certainly your daughter doesn't call you a personality.
No. I always stick with comedian because that covers everything. Yeah. That covers any kind of writing that I might do. It covers TV, it covers stage, it covers, radio or whatever else. So I always just stick with comedian. I figure that's easiest.
Do you get hit up at, because I assume then that's what you write on your customs form. What's your occupation?
Yep.
Do you then get that tell us a joke thing?
Yes, occasionally. Yeah.
Have you got one in the back pocket that you pull out, or just like, no, I don't do that. Sorry, it's not that kind.
It's okay to just smile and make a joke out of the fact that you don't have a joke, especially after a long haul flight. Last thing you want after 26 hours when you get to London, tell us a joke, and you just smile and go, dude, I've been on a plane for 26 hours. Any jokes I had are somewhere over the Pacific right now.
I have drugs in my intestine. That's the joke I have for you. Come this way, please, sir.
It's a lot easier being recognised because then they kind of go, you're the guy, what are you, and they might ask, where are you performing or what are you back for? And then you can smile your way through it. But generally I just say comedian and then I keep my head down. The nicest one was when I went to London to perform at the Royal Variety Performance.
Yes.
Because technically I wasn't being employed and I wasn't being paid because it's a charity gig, but what I did have was an official letter from Buckingham Palace.
Nice!
They said, what are you here for? I'm just performing at a charity show. Have you got any proof? Yeah. How's this grab you?
It was a big scroll that as you unrolled the trumpet sounded as a fanfare. There's just randomly standing around at Heathrow, I believe, where you say that when you unroll the thing, the trumpet's always doing it again. all the stuff. No, that's crazy though. Not many people. Well, I guess Royal Variety. They've had a few through the time, but
probably not. Yeah, maybe a few. Not many internationals. But it was nice to roll that out and go. I don't know if you can see the gold embossed ER letterhead there, signed Buckingham Palace. You can take it up with Her Majesty if you want.
Yeah. I'd like to think that with the title comedian, you'd be one of the few guys that could make a bomb joke. It's on my job description. Boss said it's okay.
I know. Do you know what? I even thought of one the other day, but I just because my foot always sets off the metal detectors.
Of course.
So they always, there's always that moment where I have to walk over and put my arms out, and they pat me down. So I'm very careful. Although now they recognise me. It's happened so often in the last months. It's really been a case of, well, we've got to do this. Sorry about this, Adam. Where are you off to today?
Tap tap tap. Gets to that part.
Yeah, you're fine. Go through.
I used to, and in the times when I'm, feeling a little bit of a smart ass is probably the best way to put it. I would go, so, Ellie, how do you define yourself? Rather than ask what do you do, how do you define yourself, Ellie?
I've decided to give myself the very general, vague title of community media producer.
Oh, I like that.
Or sometimes freelancer. And
everyone's a freelancer, not everyone's a community media producer.
This is true.
That
for me, if I had said to you, what do you do? And you said community media producer, I'd go, awesome.
Yeah, three-word title too.
Like, sounds good, but it also completely describes what it is that you do.
And that becomes CMP. Like, you can talk about, we have CEOs, CIOs,
CMP.
CFOs, CMP.
To me, it sounds like when graphic designers call themselves digital creative blah, blah, blah. Really long title. And it's sort of like you're not quite sure what they actually do. And then they're like, oh, I designed websites. And you're like, oh, well.
I'm a digital native.
Yeah.
I love the disdain that was in your voice then too. When graphic designers call themselves digital anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's very confusing.
There is the chance that community media producer could mean you supply the microphone at the local community hall.
Yeah.
But
it sounds cool.
You're clearly not.
Although producer would say you'd have more than one mic. You'd have a couple.
Biggest brief ever. It's just, if anything's happening in the community, I'm producing the media for it.
Yeah.
Even producer means a lot of things as well.
Yeah.
Because it can mean you're doing techie stuff. And of course, in radio, it means you are the guy who's doing the research and prepping the announce. And then you can be a construction producer, I guess.
I saw a job advertised the other day with the ABC, and they'd gone from content producer, because content producer that's a thing that radio stations and whatnot have, and I've actually been upgraded from content producer. I'm now a digital producer. Ooh. Which is kind of on that wanky side you were early. but they've now gone from content producer to content creator. But it was such beautiful. It was like a.
You are the creator.
It was lovely.
Yeah, but they get that in place of a $10,000 a year pay rise. That's just unionist rubbish.
Yeah, it's like associate producer on a film. It's like when you see an actor credited as an associate producer, it's like, yeah, okay, he didn't get paid then.
And just this random extra executive producer thing where they have executive producers and they list six people and then they go executive producer someone else. That last person, they ponied up the cash. That's all they did. They just went, here's the cash, make the film, do the thing.
I'm a community media producer. I think that's excellent.
Cool. I'm going to put that on my forms.
No, you can put in make a business card. You can make business cards for like $20 these days.
Yeah, will do.
That's great advice from Josh there. So you can make some life
advice. Life advice from Josh. That's a whole other show. So is introducing yourself, like, what do you do? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you meet someone at a party, you have a bit of a chat, and then the next thing he goes, well, what do you do? And it kind of, I think it's twofold. It gives you something more to talk about.
Yep.
Like, what do you do? Community media producer. Oh, cool. What's that? Suddenly the conversation's going and you get to know each other a bit better. But also, at the risk of judging someone by what they do, it also gives you an idea of what kind of person you are.
Yeah.
Immediately I go, oh, wow, okay, you're interested in radio, in communications, in community radio, you're creative. I guess you just make all these boxes, fall into place in your head and go, right, this is the person I'm dealing with. Cool.
It has also meant in a steep rise in wanky title names, though. Content creator, something. Because no one's going, oh, I'm a street cleaner. It's, I'm in charge of sanitational expertise.
Something.
It's just,
yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, as a comic, that's your first in with people in the audience. What do you do?
True.
And that gives you, that's your first in to making jokes. But those names, as soon as someone says, I'm a sanitation facilitation officer,
yes.
You just go, right, okay, there are jokes to be had straight away. So in a way, those wanky job titles are actually defeating the purpose, because they now undercut. The idea is they're supposed to make a job sound more impressive, and what they're actually doing is undercutting them.
I edited my title from digital producer to quantum producer. I thought digital's so 2012. I'm moving forward to quantum producer.
Yeah.
Just because it's
quantum producer.
It doesn't mean anything.
Is that like quantum physics?
Don't encourage him.
It's the next level.
It's not even.
Watch it. Yeah. Digital radio, digital TV, that's old school. Watch for quantum TV.
Quantum. He is producing three different things right now in different times.
You can't even see them.
He is producing three different things right now. Just don't give him the chance to produce them.
So shall we make a decision on the thing?
Yeah.
Having that title, what do you do? Is it a thing, Ellie?
Definitely a thing.
Still a thing?
Has to be a thing. If otherwise, it'll just be awkward conversations at dinner parties ending with, how you going?
And I think it's an important thing.
I just can't believe you don't already follow me on Twitter, so you would have read my bio.
Oh, sorry. Do you know what is
That's
a thing?
A bit awkward.
Small talk is a thing.
Yeah.
Small talk is underrated. People throw away small talk and they go, oh, I hate small talk. But small talk serves a linguistic purpose. And I remember studying this. And along the lines of what do? It gets you used to the intonations of another person's voice.
Yep.
So when you meet someone and you go, oh, hey, how about this weather, huh? Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? it's really dull, and it's meant to be really dull. It's meant to be something that's easily accessible, so you gradually get to know that person's voice, and after a couple of minutes go, okay, that's the way you speak. Good, let's talk about something interesting.
or I'm going to talk to the door now. Because you've been fun, but the door is interesting.
I need to get better at small talk because one of my weekend things is I'm a marriage celebrant and I'll go to weddings and I'll often MC the reception. So doing the wedding first, that's like kind of business, fun, you know, kind of action. And we're done. They'll go have photos, and I've now got 6 hours ahead of me with a families that I've
never met. At a table of people you don't know.
And I'm getting better at small talk. But even, so how do you know the bride?
Why do you have to stay there for another 6 hours?
Okay, because I'll be emceeing the reception as well often.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I'll get up and say a funny thing. I've got my wedding reception jokes.
Yeah.
Get all of the guys to bring the keys out.
No, I don't do that.
Or do you save that for the father of the bride? Let him do that.
I'll let him do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. You're a generous MC.
Yeah. Adam, have you got a thing for the committee?
I have. Now, before I show the committee a thing.
Yep.
No one's offered to show us their thing, Adam.
I'm going to show you a thing.
I don't think the listeners will be able to see it.
No. I don't want the listeners to see it.
You get to describe it.
And I know that there is a certain veil of secrecy that I must insist on before showing you this thing because it could get people in trouble.
Okay.
All right. I'm just simply going to show you a photo I took recently of myself and my daughter with a children's entertainer. Okay. Now, which is why this can't be...
Sure.
We can't say who it is.
No names.
Okay.
No names, no pack drill.
I'm going to show the photo around.
Yep.
I'm just going to let your eyes gaze. Mm. And I'm going to ask, is that a thing?
Wow. There's so much happening. There's...
Can you see the thing I'm referring to?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, some people might call it a thing.
Yeah.
Because at first you go to like what's he wearing on his head, mm-hmm. but then you're like, oh, that's not
that's
there's more.
That's the danger of that much lycra. Bottom line.
Yes, but if you're doing a kid's entertainer,
that doesn't happen.
You would think
tie off before the gig.
Tie off.
This is what I'm saying.
Tie off.
Or at least wear a cup.
Oh, nice. Yeah, of course. I've gone rude. That's entirely practical.
Yeah. You've got
to... I don't know. I don't know what you guys do.
Look.
Do you wear a cup?
I don't know. We tie off. Always tying off.
Or a codpiece. I don't know.
Codpiece. Exactly.
That's incorporate it in the costume.
Think of ballet. Ballet. For centuries, people have been wearing, if not lycra, at least very skin tight.
Yeah.
Batman got it right.
Yes.
For once.
Yeah.
Well, a lot.
And now that is... I don't know why that thing was the way it was. Look, I spoke to other people that saw...
The
that
thing.
Show, various incarnations of that show earlier that day, and the thing was there all day.
Ooh.
All day.
Children's entertainers are held to a really high standard. I remember hearing a story about the Wiggles, and the Wiggles, if you notice, I'm sure every photo they've ever been in, they're always doing the point. So they're pointing, and they're all both hands pointing, and that's their trademark, you know, we're pointing.
The Wiggles are shaking the fingers.
Yeah. But the reason I was told behind that was because that way in every single photo, their hands are in the photo, not in the photo, so that no accusations could be made.
Yeah.
So that when mum goes, his hand isn't there, he could be... Yeah. So the idea behind the point is like hands
we're not touching anything, hands are in the air.
Yeah.
Do you know, I've heard a similar thing. I've never had it confirmed.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, there is a thing. And, I mean, this is... I don't know. I mean, is this... But then I'm thinking, well, this is a kid's show that parents like watching as well. Is that why? Is that why? Is it appealing to the mum?
In this entertainment... Well, could be. In this entertainment context, this entertainer and the show that they're involved with is a relatively energetic show.
Yes.
They do a lot of things and dancing and stuff.
Yeah.
Kids entertain. They like movement and colour.
Yeah.
They're getting all of that in that photo, but perhaps it's... Look, there's no showing away from it. That's a normal thing. It just strikes you as somewhat uncomfortable when you involve children near that thing.
I think so, and I think Ellie's exactly right. I think a cup.
Protect yourself.
It's really not too much to ask.
Because we can see his hands.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
All cool. I guess the catch is, too, when you're performing and everyone's come on stage for the photos and that stuff, there's no just adjusting yourself. There's no... All it is, excuse me, I just need to go to the bathroom or something like that.
Yeah.
And maybe...
And I'm assuming that's not...
Blokes need to adjust themselves sometimes.
We do, we do. And look, I've spoken to a few people who saw those shows those days and said that there were moments where he disappeared from stage and came back on stage and some adjustment had gone on. So good. Clearly it was an ongoing...
He's aware of the need.
He was aware it was a thing.
I've just done a quick Google search because there's people that are listening that haven't seen the photo and we just need to put words on it. And Wikipedia tells me that the male version of a camel toe is called a moose knuckle.
A moose knuckle.
Whoa.
Thank you, Wikipedia, and all that money we donate to you.
Excellent searching. There you go. And of course, you can understand why we can't really say who was involved in that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Look,
yeah, there's no assertion that anything untoward or anything. Completely above board.
Totally above board. And I can't stress enough how lovely all the, you know,
yeah, we love the entertainment involved. Stuff. All good. Don't love the boner, love the game.
I'm not even saying it was that. I don't even think it was that. I think that was resting. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm feeling really inadequate.
Yeah. And there was... I did hear a lovely story about, I think it was Antonio Banderas,
yeah,
on like a Brazilian chat show or something, and there was a dance number and he was surrounded by about 15 hot women all kind of shimmying up to him, and then at one point he just had to turn his back to the camera for a good 30 seconds. Sorry about that,
just
everyone.
Think of my grandma.
Yeah, but that could go to a dangerous place as well, because if you're trying to talk yourself out of it with something in your head, and then... I don't know about you. There have been times where I've tried to talk myself out of it with not think of a grandma, but other things. And then all of a sudden that thing has suddenly spawned into a weird moment where, ooh, and then, no, that's disgusting. But it's that moment of, ooh, where it's done the counterproductive thing of I want things to settle, things didn't settle.
Oh, wow.
I can't help but feeling Ellie might be in the wrong conversation right now. I'm feeling...
Would be really nice.
Could I segue you into this?
Sure.
That's dangerous.
You're wearing tight legging. Are they leggings? Are we calling them leggings? Well,
stockings.
Tights. Stockings.
But you're also doing the fashionable thing. You're wearing a longer. Is that a jumper?
Dress.
I'm not quite sure, actually. I bought it from an op shop, and I was like, I'm not sure if this is a dress or a
dressy
really long shirt.
But, you know.
But I'm going to wear pants under it.
That's a classy thing today. My wife does that, you know, so we want to keep our legs warm. But then you see a lot of people walking the streets, and they've thought, I like the tights idea, but I'm not going to cover up my groin.
Oh, I've seen that.
Leggings are not pants.
I wondered. Leggings. I honestly wondered where you were heading with I didn't have anywhere that I thought you were going. It's just intrigued to see where
there is nowhere out of this
was going to end.
Are you trying to ask me if leggings as pants is a thing? Because this is a very controversial.
Yeah, well,
issue.
The fashion world, I'm sure, is they've got people
and
dedicated
they all
to this.
Tune in to the Thing Committee.
I think it's a thing when you're very lazy and can't be bothered.
That's
and
even
you're just
more
going
of
to
a
the,
reason why it's not a thing, though, Ellie.
Or you're going to the shops and you're hungover. Then it's okay.
Nobody wants
every
to
other
see
time.
Leggings as pants on this. Like, let's be fair. If the only time that it might be considered acceptable, and it's completely vacuous, is when the person wearing leggings as pants pull it off. How many people have you seen pull that off?
Yeah, not me.
Kylie Minogue.
Maybe.
That's an excellent question. You're saying generally. So what was your answer, Ellie?
My answer is it's a thing when you're very lazy and possibly hungover and you just want to go to the shops and buy some lollies and you're like, I don't even care.
Put some pants on.
Conditional thing.
But it also depends on the thickness of the tights.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
If they're sheer, that's worse.
Yes, I have seen that. This unfortunate lady standing in the middle of a traffic island in Kedron who was wearing... these stockings that weren't very thick and white underpants and a shirt.
Oh.
And I was like, does she know or is it on purpose?
No, she's made that choice.
I just don't
know.
I'm going to say it shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a thing.
No.
But
if they're very thick tights,
then it's sort of okay.
If you're hungover and you're tired and you're being lazy, then do you really want to... people to be seeing every contour of your body. Like, in my head, I'm thinking, that's when I put tracksuit pants.
Yeah, we've invented tracksuit pants for this.
Exactly. Surely that's when you wear something baggy
Oh, how women even have the ability of wearing like ankle length dresses to hide all of the things if they really
just let it hang.
But no, I'm serious. Like,
it's true, you're right.
Ladies can wear skirts that go all the way down that don't even show the form of their leg at all.
Mm.
Guys don't have that option unless they choose to be cross dressers.
So why has our children performing friend child?
Wow.
Yes.
That's no, not what no, you meant.
No.
Children's performer.
Children's friend. Performer yeah. friend. Yeah. He's decided to just go the full lycra.
Are you saying he should have worn a skirt?
He has no
ankle length dress. That,
maybe should, the Scottish one or something.
Should he have worn baggy tracksuit pants?
He was having a day.
Part of the costume, but I mean, he's performed on stage a lot. Maybe it was just an oversight. Maybe there was a, you know what I mean? Get to the theatre. Oh, dear Lord, I've left the box, the cup.
Yes. Or I have no time to address the issue. We just have a show.
Yep, exactly. We're just going to have to battle through today.
It's game on.
And hope for the best.
And because he's in a position too where the other members of his cast, we don't know who they are necessarily. He can't just sort of tag, well, you go and do, you be me today.
No,
and
exactly.
I'll be you.
Yep.
And I'll hide.
No.
No option.
No.
We know who this person is because they're out and about.
Yeah. So, look, let's just say it was an oversight.
Ooh, it was unfortunate. It was an accident. I'm sure it was an accident.
Are you sure that it wasn't a sock? You know, teenage boys do that.
No.
Well, I mean, that would imply a whole different agenda.
So you think it was on purpose?
No, he speaks stupid.
Well, here's okay. Is this a thing? Children's entertainers, both on TV and live, who are designed to be attractive to the parents.
I hear it's a thing with the Wiggles.
No. Oh, hello, High Five. The first whole iteration of i5, I will almost promise you, was that.
Yep.
Because it was with dancing and singing and all cool. The discussion around my office when High Five kicked off was how hot is insert woman's name here? Or from the girls, gee, that guy lights my fire.
Yep.
It was totally about that.
And look, as a dad with a daughter who loves High Five, I never complain when High Five goes on. Nor, as far as I know, do women complain when Jimmy Giggle comes on in Giggle and
No.
Giggle.
Yeah. That guy, seriously, if he wanted to wear that Giggle pajamas to the pub sometime, he'd be batting them off with a stick.
Can I be honest in saying that I think the performer that you showed me, I think he's attractive, but now I'm not so sure.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that actually turns you off.
Are you judging his size?
Are you just wanting a little bit of mystery in your relationship? Is that what I'm hearing, Ellie?
Sure, why not?
Let's call it that.
Look, I like his hair and glasses, and I didn't really need to see that other thing.
I think that in that instance, I can't imagine that was designed to make the parents enjoy the show as well. There are other things that make that happen.
Oh,
for example, let's go to another kids show.
Mm.
Yo Gabba Gabba is a great kids show.
Yeah.
And it is designed by people, musos in their 30s,
yes,
who specifically make music that will appeal to parents.
And are all on crack.
Well, even to the point where Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo draws the pictures.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he's the guy that, hey kids, today we're going to draw a picture.
No
he's
way.
The guy from Devo.
Yeah.
So it is actually designed to keep the adults watching, and the music's great. There's really good beats.
I've never seen it. I'm without child.
This is the Sesame Street principle, right? The thing that they recognised, the Children's Television Workshop, when they set up Sesame Street, was that they were aiming at educating kids. We want to help them get a head start and learning to count and alphabet and reading and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
But they also knew that parents own the remote, or change the channels.
Yep.
And if the parents aren't entertained in the same way, they're going to switch off. They're not going to be engaged. But they also recognised that given some of the socioeconomic areas these are going into, these shows, they're going to learn stuff as well. So we want to make it engaging and entertaining for them at the same time. So there's room for that, for the parents not only enjoy it, but to learn as well. The awesome kitsch factor around things like Yo Gabba Gabba, including, you know, the guy from Devo or Elijah Wood or that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
We just sit there and go, it's a hobbit. It's awesome. Yeah. And he's dancing and it's fun.
And the same goes back to something like Play School. We used to have, you know, like John Waters, Noni Hazelhurst on Play School.
John Hamblin, the best storyteller ever.
There you go. Yeah, my mum was watching Play School in a totally different way than I was.
I never imagined that there was an adult context in any of these shows.
I just never... Subtle about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because when it has the C in the classification, you can't have the host come on with their tits out.
Really?
Apparently.
I
Unless it's a breast, how-to breastfeeding show.
How-to and breastfeeding.
Then it, even then, it would need to be somewhat
Note
careful.
To self, change that pitch to the ABC.
Spicks and tits.
Come on, Mark Scott, just give it a shot.
It's educational.
That's right. We can watch and enjoy, and we might learn something. Yeah, that's definitely a thing. Whatever that photo was you showed us is a thing. It was definitely an accidental thing.
It was an accidental thing.
Yeah.
But children's performers appealing to parents at home.
Totally a thing.
Definitely a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Smartest marketing ploy ever.
Yeah.
Ellie, have you got something for the committee?
Actually, what you said before reminded me of a thing that I wrote down.
If you speak into the black thing, that helps too.
When you were discussing trying to get your mind off when you have the thing that we were talking about
sexy
just before.
Things.
Yes, sexy things.
Sexy things.
And that kind of reminded me of something I wrote down, which was strange psychological responses to phone alert sounds.
Ah.
Ooh.
Okay, so let me explain. I thought of this when I was eating at Southbank before. And
your phone went off.
The alarm on my phone is the sound of a quacking duck, right? Quack, quack, quack. And that wakes me up every morning. So it goes, you know, I'm asleep,
dreams.
Quack, quack, quack. That I wake night. Up and go, no, oh, I have to get up. So today when I was at Southbank, I heard an actual duck quacking and I freaked out.
Oh, wow.
I was like, what? Oh, okay, time to wake up. Wait, no. That was an actual duck. And the same thing kind of happened when I had... Exactly.
Is the noise of a duck quacking in another
oh
room.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Time to wake up and go to work. Bye.
Ellie's just had the worst Pavlovian response ever.
She just left. She's now sharing awkwardly in the corner.
Dessert chefs have Pavlovian responses?
I hope so.
Pavlovian
responses. Is there some guy that works in it, like, as a pastry chef, and whenever a bell rings, he has to make a Pavlova? And then whenever he's at home and he hears the bell ring, it's like, oh, okay, get the meringue. Sorry, Ellie.
It wasn't a stretch for Pavlov to come to that, because I'm sure you think back to the older houses where they had the upstairs downstairs dealio.
Indeed.
It was just bells.
Yeah.
This bell has rung. It's time for this.
Yeah. Get the kiwi fruit out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And a similar thing happened to me when I have a certain song as a ringtone on my phone, and I can't listen to that song again because when I hear it, I think my phone's ringing and it's probably my mum who's going to nag me about something, or it's work calling me in, or something really terrible, and then I can't listen to that song anymore.
I completely agree. I had Back in Black on my phone for a while.
Yeah?
Loved it, because every time my phone rang, I'd bang, ba-na-na-na.
Yeah.
Ba-na-na-na.
If I heard that, I just would have expected Will Anderson to come
in. You know, then I'd be scrolling through, you know, thinking, what CD, what music am I going to play today on my iPod, and I look at Back in Black and stuff, and go, yeah,
yeah.
I start playing, and it's just that tensing moment.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to answer the phone.
Oh,
it's like, yeah, same. I took it off because of that.
Or
the thing where, which is similar to what you said, the tone that you have as your alarm, which I have to wake up in the morning, other people have as their ringtone.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
So that's annoying. You're in an office and you hear what you think is your time to wake up noise.
Yes.
Someone else answering the phone noise. I think you've definitely got a thing.
With the proliferation of smartphones, particularly fruit-based ones, and them going into television shows, the same thing. Like where people might have, oh no, I'm sitting, this is my alarm or this is my text message noise. And then character X on adult drama B, could be Offspring, has their phone ring.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, it's just the phone on the television.
Yes. On the other side of that, though, for a while, my ringtone was the noise of the phones on 24.
Of course, everyone did that. That's
cool.
Awesome.
Okay, cool.
Who wouldn't do that? I tried to do that.
See, ever since I got into radio, my phone's been on silent, so I haven't had a ringtone in years.
Right. Yep.
So if you call me and if you never get through, that's just because my phone's on silent. I'll look at it and ring you back, and I'll always be looking at my phone, particularly because I'm now married and you have to answer within three rings, otherwise you're cheating.
Right.
Okay. Wow. Is that not a law?
I've got a feeling that's a whole other thing.
I don't think that's a thing.
No, she's not that...
Insecurity in your relationship.
She's not that bad. I make fun of her. But you know, the only sound my phone makes is the alarm, and I've got the that alarm sound. Yep. And there's a guy at work who has that as his ringtone, and it freaks me out because he'll go off and I'll get all shuddered and freak out because I've got
to
wake up.
The ability
now
to silence your phone and stuff, that's certainly a thing, because that has exactly that. Some people don't. Ringtone? No, I think of myself as a ringtone purist. I want to do the song as my ringtone. And apart from the fact this is going to sound really horrible considering how nerdy I am, I don't really know how to do that. Because I don't just want the opening intro to a song. I might go, I want this portion of a song. And I over nerd it. I go, so I've got to import it into this software and cut it apart.
This is really
and get
embarrassing.
This and save it as an MP. See, I've never looked into it, all right? I'm a ringtone purist. It has to sound like a phone ringing. That's my phone ring.
Right. Okay.
I can't have it as a song. Because apart from over-nerding, I don't want to do it. I also don't want to ruin the song.
Having said that, how hard is it to get a ringtone that actually sounds like a phone ringing?
The ones that are natively on the phones aren't too bad.
Really? I mean, I've searched through mine and gone, okay, can something just sound like a phone that rings, please?
It's what?
I don't need a calypso band.
No, marimba. Marimba is not a phone ring. It's not even a text message sound. I mean, we're all bled onto the fact that when the first phones were out there, we got the Morse code for SOS as our text message sounding. And that's now, oh no, we have to maintain that somehow. That has to be calling da-da-da or something, some stupid phone ringer. No, just come up with something. Customize that. Make your text message sound anything you want.
Yeah.
But phone rings, it's got to be phone.
I think you have undoubtedly discovered a thing, or at least identified a thing.
Psychological responses to phone alerts.
Yeah, that's weird though that an actual duck. Not just, I mean, we're talking about hearing your ringtone on someone else's phone, but yours is an actual duck.
Oh, now I'm traumatized by ducks.
She's running.
But I don't want to go to work.
And then the irony of it is when you are in a position where you actually hear natural ducks now, you're probably relaxing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're beside a, you're in a park, you're beside a lake, you might even be in the countryside. So
you're outside with a gun. I mean,
yeah.
Whatever's
the
doing it.
The actual duck is achieving the opposite of what you're there for the duck to do.
Exactly. I actually picked that as an alarm because it was the least stressful sounding alarm. Like there's ones on there that go bam, bam, and sounds like a doomsday alarm.
That has the alarm
it freaks me out.
Noise.
Well, I need that alarm. Otherwise, I'll just go all night and then all morning, all day. I'll wake up the next day if I don't have that alarm.
Yeah.
The scary doomsday alarm.
yeah. Exactly. I love it.
I had a housemate that had that alarm and it was so loud I could hear it from her room, and then I'd have these terrifying
dreams.
Alarms.
Yeah. They're not cool.
They shouldn't be a thing.
No.
Do you have anything to add? Casey Bonetto's here.
Hello, Casey.
Hey, Casey.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Do you have something to add to the...
The only thing I have to add is this.
Oh, that no, stop
disturbed.
It. No. I pressed the wrong button, Mr. Burns. It happened again.
Is there something you'd like to submit to the Casey before we submit to the Casey podcast?
No, I used to have...
I'm losing my English.
I customised my own ringtone. I did the nerdy thing of her cutting it all together and all that.
Yeah.
I used to have the ABC theme, known as Majestic Fanfare, segueing into Looney Tunes, which is great fun because it went... bum 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 bum. And it's great if your phone rings like that and the fanfare pauses and you can say, excuse me for a moment, and it sounds all like, yes, I must answer this phone, and the moment he goes, you can sort of go, see you later.
It's like it sets up the phone call with the utmost credibility.
That's right.
Like, it's this guy's serious. He's got to take the phone. And then it ends with, it's just a joke.
That's right.
He's laughing at us.
That's right. Excellent. It's contempt. Contempt.
This has been the Thing Committee podcast. We have decided many things. Adam, how can we find you on the webs and the things and the everything?
I think I'm on Twitter at Adam Hills Comedy.
Yeah.
I have a website, adamhills.com, which I barely maintain and really need to update.
Management do that. That's what they're for.
Oh, see?
Oh, no.
That one that's going
on. Yeah, that's not a phone call.
That's my wake-up alarm.
Really?
That's why I just jumped, because
he's mentally disturbed now.
So now I'm having this weird moment of, am I dreaming? And I'm hearing my alarm wake up. Oh, I'm having a real kind of Taoist dilemma.
Well, that's what I mean. The worst part of having any sound that you hear then in another context like that is because when we sleep and we understand that the stuff we hear can impact our dreams, and we can have a dream that feels like years in a microsecond. So you have that sound that prompts it, and it's like that's what waking up to alarms and marimbas and ducks and stuff. Crazy dreams, man. Oh, you that's some crazy dreams. Completely
messed with my heads before the show now.
Oh, God. Good. Sorry, Brisbane.
Really sorry. I hope everyone in the audience turns their phones off during a show.
Yeah, everyone otherwise, does
that. Terrible things could happen.
Having glowing screens. Perfect time.
The backstage rider has just arrived.
Hurrah. Woo-hoo. We need to get out of your way. Yeah. You're also on television.
Where did the plates of cocaine go?
You're also on television, Adam.
Adam Hills Tonight is still on every Wednesday night at the moment.
Killing it. Loving it.
Up until the end of July.
We'll say then.
Yeah. It is the end of July. And then I think The Last League's going to come back.
Excellent.
Probably August, September.
That means you're going back to the UK then.
I am. And in fact, in a very, very weird quirk of timing, it's entirely possible that the final episode of Adam Hills Tonight will go to air on Australia on Wednesday night, the 31st of July.
Yes.
And the first episode of The Last League will go to air live in London on the same night.
Excellent. Oh.
Gotta love TV.
And if I do it, it will mean filming Adam Hills Tonight, and then and we normally finish up about 10 o'clock.
Flying.
Get out of the studio at midnight, flying out at 2 a.m.
Oh.
Wow.
Landing in London on a Tuesday
straight
night.
Straight on
and
the set.
The, the next night.
Yoink.
Rock star. Look at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at you, Mr. Fancy Pants, front of the plane.
Not necessarily.
Ellie Heck, we find you on the Twitters and webs and socials.
My Twitter name is irrelevant, so IRRELIEVANT. And my website is Ellie Freeman, ELLIEFreeman.com, which I also never update.
Excellent.
It's good that we're all on the same page as far
not
as website updating.
Websites is a thing.
Go to elliefreeman.com and adamhills.com to find out what we were doing 12 months ago.
thethinkcommunity.com is updated every week with a new podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, anything else that you can subscribe on. If you've got a thing, submit it at the same website, like us on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter, and say hi to Malk's mum for us.
Sure, because she's really just not in any way a person's people.
You're at Malk's TV Talk on Twitter.
You're at Joshua Withers. God help us all.
Have a great week.
You have just heard an unpopular podcast. Find more unpopular podcasts at unpopular.com.au.